back up. Okay, welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, March 3rd, 2026 workshop meeting. Call to order time, 6 p.m. Call the roll, please.
Interim Chief Weldon.
Present.
Fiscal Officer Ross. Present. Trustee Wilkerson.
Present.
Trustee Reese.
Present.
Trustee Dick.
Here.
Okay. Hearing of the public on items on the agenda.
Nobody gave me any pink slips.
All right. No pink slips. Haven't heard them called that. That's pretty good. Okay, next up is new business. First up is administrative and zoning. Resignations and appointments to the zoning boards. So, Rochelle resigned from the BZA. Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to think which one she's on. They're moving out of the township. So, we will be looking for someone to take that position. Well, actually, Jim Leskovich is going to move up. He's currently an alternate. Our policy is that we ask the alternates if they want to become a regular member. He said yes, he would do that. So we will be looking for an alternate on the BZA. The other one is we interviewed last week a replacement for Josh, basically, who left the zoning commission to become trustee. So that will be on the agenda for next week for your consideration. That's Gary Cornish is the person we interviewed. So that will be on next Tuesday's regular meeting. I just want to let you guys know there's a couple of new zoning web pages. One has a big calendar of zoning deadline dates. We get asked all the time, when do I have to have this application in to get it to the next meeting? So I created a big calendar that shows all the Miami County meetings, their deadlines, our deadlines, and our meetings, and then also a workflow page that describes the process that the zoning amendments go through, so a rezoning, and then also the variances and conditional uses. So if you need to know anything, there's a lot of zoning stuff out there now. The fee schedule's out there. The forms are all out there. So everything you need zoning, the code, I mean, just everything's out there. Okay, the last thing for administration is there is now a civic capacity debrief. It's $5 a month or $50 a year. I would like the township to subscribe to that. It keeps us in touch with what's going on in Miami County. It's written by Bill Lutz, who most of you know, and probably subscribed to the civic capacity already. He was the administrator here back when. So if you guys are okay with that, $50 a year to see how it goes. Is that okay with you guys?
How do we, what do you mean? So is that like an account for the township, like that we would have access to, or where's that information? Like, how would we get that information?
So it doesn't say all that. It just says subscription. So I don't know if it's each person. So we would probably have to provide an email because that's okay. How the civic one works.
Right.
So I was thinking we give them administrator
and
go from there.
Okay.
But I can ask him that if we can send that out to everybody.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I was curious about is how we're going to access that information.
Yeah, it should come in an email or maybe the website if that's how the regular civic capacity works.
I get my email.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anything else for administration and zoning that wasn't on here that anybody wants to? Okay.
I've been working on a zoning certificate application checklist that I worked on. That kind of walks you through the application and tells you all of the stuff that you are required to submit with the application. So I'll share that to you guys. You can take a look at it. I'd like to create this for everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That way,
if it's not complete, then we shouldn't move forward.
That's right.
And that's for the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
For the citizens.
Okay, because we have one for us now.
Yeah.
We're trying to update as well.
Right. I just meant for when we email folks the forms, the zoning certificate form or a variance or anything else, I want to be able to give them this, a checklist. Here are all the items that you need to submit and all the regulations that you need to look at. All right.
Okay. Excellent. That's been on the list for years.
So I'll let you guys take a look at that.
I've seen, you gave that to me today.
I showed it.
Okay. We don't need to talk about this now though, right?
No, no.
Yeah, if you wanna do that, please send it out in advance instead of at the meeting. Okay, so is that it then for administration and zoning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up is fire and EMS.
As far as resignations, I have one current letter. I have one person who told me, he intends to give me a letter. I have three people who we have interviewed. All three of them have gotten packets. And I've got one additional person who I'm gonna call either tomorrow or Thursday for a job interview, and then one for approval on next Tuesday.
Great. Thanks, Jerry.
Excellent. Excellent. Any other?
One other thing I would like to bring up is I got a email from Chief Nisley from City of Huber Heights. I can share this with you as well, but they are wanting to do a training center, and they want to see if we have any interest in being a part of that training center, which we would have full use of it. Their current plan is to put at least one building on there for now. That would be for training purposes or a clean building. They also have plans to do a live burn building in there. And the reason why he reached out to me is it's close to our proximity and our response area. So if we did any trainings there, we would still be able to respond to our response area. He would like me to reach back out to him no later than the 5th to see if we have any interest.
And financial contribution.
That's what I want to find out before I 100% commit yes. So,
where will it be located?
Carriage Trail.
As far as I know, he didn't give me a location, but I have kind of heard through the rumor mill. Remember where the MRDD area was right there off Taylorsville?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you go down
right
Bridgewater, mm-hmm. and it's right almost right in front of you.
Okay.
I believe that's mm-hmm. the area that they're talking about.
Okay.
So, like I said, we just cut up Bridgewater and we're right there.
Okay. Okay, so you're going to get back with us?
Yeah, I'll get back
with additional.
But I do have to.
Since you know about it, did you read anything about the cost?
No, I was talking to the people that live there.
Okay.
And they're very concerned what's happening behind them. And that's why I was just told it was supposed to be some type of training center for Huber.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like what that is.
So mm-hmm. they've reached out to Butler Township, Vandalia, mm-hmm. Harrison Township, and I believe they're also trying to include Tip City. So
they're going to get all everybody around.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good idea to pool resources. I mean, potentially.
Yeah.
Depends on the cost.
Yeah, but I mean, that's you get more. You could get more funding that way than trying to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm. So, I think their new garage over there for their road work was something like $40
million.
They're building a new administrative building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I will reach out and find out from Chief Nisley. I mean, initially there probably wouldn't be anything. I think right now he's just looking for interest in mm-hmm. people who would
right.
be interested in being right. involved in our process. So.
Sounds like an interesting idea. Okay, anything else for fire and EMS?
No.
Okay, let's keep going then. Road department and cemeteries. So you have an update on
mm-hmm.
the two nuisance cases that
court? Actually, I did both of our nuisance cases on 40 and on Ross Road have been somewhat rectified. They both have dates by which they have to settle their issues. Ross Road has a pending sale contract agreement. I think that's 30 to 45 days. They have to complete that and start bulldozing down or fixing what's there on Ross. This is a firehouse. The next one is on 40, the nuisance hoarder house. That also has a deadline. It's 35 to 45 days. They have to clean it up. He hasn't started anything yet. I've been watching. but he has to clean it up. He's been to court, so that's good. But the interesting thing to me was I asked Rhonda to pull the costs that we've incurred for this new attorney that we've hired. It's from last year into this year, and it's less than $4,000 to clear not only those two cases, but a couple of other things that he's not cleared yet, but he's been working on for us. So I think that money has been well spent, because we've been more than 2 years on the Ross Road property and 2 years on the 40 property waiting for the county prosecuting attorney. So if we can get that kind of bang for our buck, we should be turning all of our zoning nuisance cases and problem cases over to this private attorney to get them out from underneath us at this point, is my opinion. But I'm only one vote, so everybody has to agree. The next one is the cemeteries. I had a complaint on the cemetery, a woman who has her mother buried in one of the Bethel cemeteries called in and stated that her mother, who hadn't had a tombstone put on her grave for over 15 years, now has a tombstone. Turns out that wasn't her mother's grave. Her mother is located in the same row, but five or six plots down. And we found that out. She's convinced that that's her mother's plot. But we keep running into these things all the time. So we have to send out now a location of where her mother actually is buried and prove that, in fact, this is what we have as far as our records go. She says, no, it's not it. The roads thing, do you want me to go to the roads now?
No.
Not yet? Let's okay, so that I'm done with cemeteries then.
So back to the nuisance cases. Let's talk about that for a second. What would be the next two or three that you would want the attorney to take on?
All of the I-1 zonings along 40 or along 201 that we've shoved up to the boat facility, the RV facility. They're all in violation there without their buffers, and we've had those up at the county prosecuting attorney's office for 3 months into my term.
Okay, how many of those are there? Can you work with him to get those going then?
We are putting together a letter now to go to every one of those people who are not in compliance in the I-1 zoning areas, to try to get them in compliance with those buffers. If they don't respond to those, you guys already gave me permission to send these up to that attorney. Mr. Wolf has been complaining on Man Road about the buffer behind his house not being enforced for the last 2 years. And again, his case, or that case for the boats and for the RV, have been up to the prosecuting attorney's office. And we looked in the file today, and it's clear that they're in violation, and we pulled up the zoning map, we looked at what they have there. There's not only that violation, but their side violation as well, as far as the buffers go. The front violation, as far as the fencing goes, is not compliant for all of the properties along there. And we've got letters in the file that we pulled out on just three properties that state they know this. They've been notified of it. Certified letters by Mike, going back to Mike's date in zoning, and nothing's ever been done.
As you mentioned, we've already talked about doing some of them with the attorney, so that's why I was wondering, you haven't talked about them going to the attorney, so are those the ones that
those are
going
ones
to the attorney next?
Those are the ones I'd like to send up next. So.
And there's how many of those?
There's...
I can't remember the number. I'll have all the letters done by Thursday, so mm-hmm. I'll have a number for you at the end of the week.
So why are we sending another letter? We've already sent letters, right?
Because I sent letters when I took office with on four of those properties on the west side of 201, but the other properties haven't been served, so we have to serve them all.
Yeah. And if they have, I don't know.
We can't find them. So we looked on the computer, we looked in the files, and some of them don't have records, but it's clear that if you serve one, you must have served them all at one point.
Okay.
So we're going to serve...
So about how many are there?
We think maybe eight. Mm-hmm. Maybe eight.
All on 201.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And one on Man. One on Man.
Yes. And that's that's an I-1 on.
And that's an I-1 as well. It's surrounded by residential.
Okay, so I thought we were going to give him like two or three cases at a time.
Well, here's what I again, we can give him two or three cases at a time, but if you send these letters and you get blowback on them and you have to send them all back up, you know, what's going to happen here is they're going to say, well, you didn't send John Henry his letter. He's got the same problem I have. Why are you selectively enforcing this particular issue in the zoning? So it's best, in my opinion, to serve them all and then see what shakes out in terms of compliance. What my plan was to give them 30 days to notify us with a plan and 60 days to implement that plan. So it's a total of 90 days to get in compliance. If they can't get in compliance at the end of 90 days, then we send them whoever's not in compliance up to the attorney. If you give them the 30-day notice to bring in your drawing, and then you give them another 60 days on top of that to implement the compliance end of it, you're in the heart of the springtime when they can do the buffer and plant the plantings and so forth, and it becomes a little less strenuous and a little less tedious for them to comply. It's the middle of winter. They can't comply in 30 days at this time. I just don't see how that's going to happen right now.
So that's why we're making it 90 days. That's a mm-hmm. long time. And whatever we do now, we're going to have to do for everybody going forward. And I know that the ORC doesn't require a 90 day.
They don't. We don't even have that in our normal is 15 days. We serve them. If they don't comply within 15, we serve them the second notice, and then we move forward.
So that's what we need to follow then, whatever we have documented, right? Is that in our zoning code?
I don't know about that.
I don't think we have anything about that.
Well, where's the 15 days?
The 15 days was what I was instructed to do by Mike and by Marty as being the normal procedure here. 15 days to get them to comply. So I guess we'll just go back and look at that, and then at the next meeting, we'll make a decision on how many days you want to give them. But we need to follow through. If we're going to treat one property one way, we have to treat them all in the same zoning the same way.
I agree, and I don't really want to give them 90 days. I think that's way too much, especially to, like, if they're just going to come back with a plan.
Well,
then we could shorten that one. But we need to find out what we have said we're going to do first, because we don't want to go against that, right?
Yeah.
If we have it documented somewhere, I don't know. I haven't been through every zoning thing. Also, there were some files in the office that had open nuisance
violations. Things
in them. Did you guys find that file? I don't know where it is, but...
Electronic or...?
A paper file.
Okay. I didn't find that. I looked in the filing cabinets for the actual
right.
addresses, and then I looked online and I found... spreadsheets
right.
and folders, and I went through all
right.
that stuff.
I'm okay with giving them 15 days, but I think, and I'm okay, especially on the ones that have been non-compliant for so long, and we've already served several times. Mike has served them when he was here doing zoning. I served them when I first got in office. So now to serve them again, you know, and give them 15 days is just redundant. But on the other hand, you know, we not only did we serve him, but we sent him to the Miami County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. And we never got anything back from the Prosecuting Attorney's Office on what their intention towards these cases that we submitted to them would be. They've been up there since 2 years ago.
Okay, so let's figure out if we have anything documented,
yep.
So we can at least follow that. Also, just keep in mind that the two cases that just went to court, they gave them 45 days to get in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, again, I
so
60,
we get, so
60 is a long time.
Okay.
Because what if they don't do it? You know, now we're in the middle of summer, and then, I mean,
right.
if 90 days goes by from now, that's March, April, May. So now
okay.
we're at...
Okay, so then you want to, we can just serve them with the 15-day, then Thursday. We'll just do the...
I'll look and see. what the date.
Yeah, let's look and see if we have anything first. But I'm saying even the 60 days seems, well, we need to check the ORC too.
Since
it's a buffer with plannings and stuff, we were thinking that, you know, 30 days to provide a plan for what you're actually going to do, and then 60 days to actually do what you said you were going to do in your plan.
So are we going to have a policy then that says
if
it's
a
buffering issue,
we're
going to give them 30 and 60 days?
But we have a policy when you're supposed to submit, when these zonings, and this is what we look for today as well, when the zoning changes occur, they are supposed to submit a site plan.
Yep.
And they, in none of the cases that have been switched over have submitted a site plan ever. So it's almost like, okay, they go to the BZA or zoning in general to change these things, and they get a conditional use or they get it changed altogether, and then there's no follow through with it as to the things that are required in our own zoning code.
Yeah.
We went through there and we couldn't find heads or tails out of site plans or just fencing plans. All this is supposed to
which is definitely required with an I-1. I think even the businesses, they're supposed to provide a landscape and buffer plan with every one of those applications.
Right, I understand all that, but that's kind of a different topic, right? And this should help fix some of
that. And that's in there.
Right, because that's just because we didn't have somebody in there saying, I'm not accepting this application because you didn't give me this plan,
yeah.
Right? So that's a different topic, but I'm just saying.
So what do you want us to do? You want us then just to go back and say, okay, 15. I'm sure that the standard procedure here is 15 days. We were trying to figure out a way to do it so that it.
Well, I don't care if we want to go 30, 60,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be consistent for everybody, right? So now what if it's not a buffering case? You're still going to have to give them 90 days, which is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if somebody puts a fence up in their front yard and they're told to take it down, they would get 90 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, we have to be consistent, or else we have to say, okay, if it's a buffering issue, then it's going to be 30, 60.
Mm-hmm.
If it's this kind of issue, it's going to be these times, so that, as you said, we need to treat everybody the same.
We're okay. I mean, I'm okay with it. We were trying to make it easier for, since we didn't ask them to comply when they got their zoning, you know, there's no doubt.
No, we did. Just because they didn't submit it doesn't mean they weren't asked to comply and didn't know that they were supposed to comply.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think just because the plan wasn't there, because I know those questions got asked, you know, but you know how the zoning cases go. You ask and everybody says, oh yeah, I'll do it.
And then it goes to the meeting and it doesn't get done. So
right, once it's...
I can't find it right here.
Okay.
There might be some ORC rules too that we need to be aware of.
I don't know, but anyways, we can do whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I'm 15 days, 40 days, 30 days. I'm okay with it. I just want the main reason I wanted to do them together is because I thought we might be able to negotiate a better deal with the attorney on a lump sum of these cases, since they're all going to be the same. If they don't comply, okay, we have these many residences with these problems, okay, we want you to handle them, and can we get a package deal, so to speak. And that was the main reason for trying to do them all at one time instead of doing one at a time or two at a time, is that if we could get a package deal and we get a better price on it, then it saves the township money in the long run as well.
Right, you could try that.
Probably not going to work, but
I would guess not, just from the standpoint of each case is going to be different and take a different amount of time, right? Like the two that just went to court, I mean, he spent time working with them outside of court, and you know it wasn't the same amount of time.
Oh, no, I know.
So I just have a feeling he's going to come back and say, well, who knows how much time it's going to take me to do each case. One could be fast, one could be like these went and took forever.
Well, I'm okay. You guys already gave me permission to do the two behind Mr. Wolf's house. So I'll just move forward. I was basically waiting to see what the premise would be if we did do it that way. If you would be objectionable to trying to lump them together. So now that I see where this is going and we don't want to wait this time, I'll just send it
But
out.
If we're sending new letters out to eight people, now we have to follow our side of the process first before we even give it to the attorney.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So those aren't even up for this what's next to the attorney. the next two to the attorney, you're saying, are going to be the boat and the...
And the RV.
And the RV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Because they've already been served, as you said,
right,
several times.
Right.
Several times. And they've not done anything. So,
okay.
But he may feel, and again, because they have been served and we have sent them to the county prosecuting attorney, he may feel that they need to be served again with a 15-day notice, since nothing happened. We didn't follow through with anything because the county attorney didn't follow through. He may feel that you have to start over.
Well, if he thinks that, then I guess we go with that, but I wouldn't see why, because that's not something that normally would be dictated in anything legal. Right? You've already served them, so I don't know. I mean, it's good to ask the question, though.
Mm-hmm.
We can find out his opinion. Okay, so those two are going to be the next, and
mm-hmm.
then anything else on the nuisance cases? And you talked about the cemetery. How about paving the township parking lot?
Okay, the parking lot, I did do some history on that as well. The pavement in the parking lot was installed in 2016. It was the last time it was sealed was 2019. So we're beyond our life expectancy on our last seal. So I'd like to do that this year, if at all possible.
Get it sealed or get it paved?
No, get it sealed, not paved. If we don't seal it, we're going to be paving it in another 2 years at probably the most. Because you're gray out here already now. You're light gray. So you should be a nice black with some nice top coating on it, some sealant on it, but you're not. So
you're going to get quotes? Or
yes. I think it's... I had a kind of a verbal quote when we did the parking lot, and it was much more than I had left in the budget to spend, so from A to Z. So I'm going to call him, and I'll probably call a couple others to see exactly what the ballpark would be, if it's going to be 25, 35, maybe 40,000. I don't know. It could be maybe 9 or 10. I don't know what it's going to be. I think we spent 3,500 on the... Or 6,000. I can't remember what we 6,000 on the park. So I would imagine this is 3-4 times that. It's probably going to be upwards of 25,000-30,000.
So
that.
I know the county doesn't do parking lots as part of their program, but
no.
Do they have any advice for us? Or
no, I talked to Sandra they do not do any sealing at all. Now they will do some chips with their. There's a chip seal that they do, and then they do the blacktop. That's all they do. She said that they have a contractor's list that you can go through if you want, but you probably would get the same price if you went through just individuals and went out for quotes. You could put a bid package together and ask for quotes on it, and they submit it from all the local companies around, and you might get a better price. So,
okay, so is that
so
what
we
we're
going
to do for the package?
I'd like to see what I think it's going to cost first. And then we've got local companies. Brewer Blacktop is actually, one of their owners lives here in the township. A to Z is local as well. He's done some work for us and done quality work here for the township. So let's just see what...
So don't we want to put a package out, though, and let them...
Yes, but we want to see what it is before we do that. Don't we want to see what we want before we do that? Don't we want to have some...
Yeah, we have to put it. We have to put out what we want, yes.
So we need to have an estimate, kind of what we need. I mean, before we go out for bid, we need to see what it is we need. Now, would you like for me to call somebody from ODOT and... at the garage down there on 55 and see if they'll come down and check out the parking lot?
I don't know. Will they do that?
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm just, the reason I'm asking you about putting out a package is I'm worried about the legal side once again,
mm-hmm.
is what are our requirements as a township? You know, what legal things do we have to follow?
It's over 25,000, we have to put a package out. If it's not over 25,000, we can choose whoever we want.
Okay.
So I'd like to have it.
Is it still 25,000 or is that?
I think it's 35 now. It was 25. Now it's 35, as Beth said last year.
Okay, so you're going to find out.
And in some cases, depending on what it is to do, it's 50,000. So, yeah, I can do that. I'd like to get an estimate because if we don't have to do all that and we can just kind of skip that process and, you know, just.
What about the guys we paid to do the analysis for us? And we go to them and
you
ask
can go,
them?
We can go to them.
Because maybe they'll have insight or contacts, or I don't know. I mean, we're supposed to get some help out of them, right?
I don't have a problem with that, but I mean,
I'm just asking.
I paid a lot of lots.
Okay, anything else on the paving then?
No.
So are we planning on paving any roads this year?
That depends on how much money we have. And right now, I just found out that we can do some capital improvements with the general fund.
Is that what you found out at the meeting?
Well, what they said was in the past, we were not supposed to be paying for paving with the general fund, which we did. So, yeah.
But now we can.
But now I believe we can. I'd have to go back through the notes, but I'm pretty sure that's what the deal was. But that doesn't necessarily mean we want to, right? We have to figure out from that analysis and driving around, I guess, what we would like to do, because they recommend things other than paving to help keep the roads in better shape longer to put off paving.
But the county doesn't do those things. The county does two things, and that's the chip sealant and the blacktop. So we would still have to go out for bid on whatever it is we decide we want to do. And a lot of these things that he came up with are new product, not used, there's not a lot of time down on the road. So I'm not opposed to using something that's new, but I'd like to have a track record. I don't know. But, you know, we can certainly review the paperwork he sent over and call him up and ask him to come in, and if they want a fee for it, we can pay it.
Well, why do we need him to come in? Can't you just work with him on the phone or individually rather than at a meeting? I mean, and then come and let us know what
sure
has been found out.
Yep, I can do that.
Do you have their number?
No, I don't.
Analysis guys. It's probably in the spreadsheet or on the agenda. I can get that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at the next meeting then maybe we can decide, because if we're going to pave, we're going to want to get in the county program. So we have to decide from that spreadsheet, and maybe that's where he can guide you on what he thinks would be the... You know, that was the whole idea of that, right, is what they think would be the top priorities to do to extend our road life.
I thought he color-coded the spreadsheet he gave us.
He did.
The top priorities.
He did.
Okay.
So we can figure out which of those things we can do or want to do. If it's new technology and we don't want to do it, maybe we don't do that. Maybe he has an alternative to that. I don't know. I mean, somebody has to sit down and do that analysis, right, and I can't do any more than I'm already doing. So, yeah. So maybe, but I'm just saying, if we are going to pave, we have to get in that county program by
okay.
a certain date, right? And I don't remember what the date is, but it's here we are already in March, which I can't believe. So we probably need to figure that out.
They'll send me a letter when it gets close. They've sent me a letter for the last 2 years, and
yeah.
It gets close.
Okay. Okay, next up is anything else for road department and cemeteries?
Nope.
Okay, next up is fiscal office.
I'm hoping you guys looked at the permanent appropriations I wanted. And I don't know if you agree with them or not, but I can tell you this. Angie at the county auditor's office, she come in and give me estimated official certificate of estimated resources. She gave me a copy of it. It's not signed or anything by anybody yet. It's not supposed to go signed until March 11th. But she gave me an idea of what I needed to be under, and we're under on everything. There's only one that we're close on, and that's the road and bridge levy. But we're still under it. We're still under, so
that's different.
wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Before I did that. I do want to say one thing. When I found the information for Kama about the attorney, I looked at the resolution again, and it said $25,000. And I only had $24,000 appropriated. So if I bump that up $1,000, I'm still under.
Okay, so that $25,000 is in total for the attorneys, not just the zoning. So
okay.
I didn't look at that, but I mean, we're still.
I only need to bump it up $1,000 to make it $25,000.
So
right, but I'm saying it all can't be in zoning because we're still using Peter Griggs to do probably a little.
So what was his bill last year? Do you off top of your head kind of know?
I don't. Not off the top of my head. I will say this. When I went through all these, I did look at each individual line item that we pay from, and I looked to see how much we paid out of it, and then give myself some wiggle room, a couple thousand maybe. And then, so I did that on everyone. You know, if they were under $1,000, some of them I bumped up to $1,000. If they were only like $100, I bumped it up to like $500, or just in case there was a little bit, something cost more, or we did something else. So whatever we spent last year, I'm above what we spent last year. So I did look at each and every one of those.
And we will likely use him less and less, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, I don't know. So you can divide that any way you want, right? We just have a resolution that says 25,000 max.
You have two resolutions. You have one for, don't you have one for Peter Griggs and then one for Shipman and whatever? And they both say 25,000.
But the 25,000 says this is what it's appropriated for legal, not for them specifically. We changed that last year. Remember at the budget, I made a motion to add like 10,000 to it or something.
Right.
And I think it was at budget time. And that's what got it to the 25,000. If we need more, we can
appropriate more.
We can write another resolution.
Yes, because.
But I'm just saying you don't want to go beyond that now because that's what the resolution says.
Right. And I have gotten that whole needing to reappropriate thing. I'm starting to catch on. So, every time I go to Angie, she's like, "You're doing a good job." So I just wanted to make sure you guys was all that okay with that. I just want to bump that one up.
The attorney?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I don't know if Josh understands this, but when the resolution, I won't be here at next week's meeting. So when the resolution comes out, we break it down by like the fund code, and then we break it down to, is it the object program code?
I think
program code. And I can move anything within a program code. So if it's 110, I can move the money to any account under 110 if you approve it that way.
Okay.
So that's without trustee approval, she can move it around within program.
Still within the program.
But
yes.
Once outside of that, then she has to come to the trustees.
So when you get the resolution, it will have some that are broken up because they are to do with salaries and like Social Security, Medicare, and stuff like that, and those I cannot move.
Okay.
They have to be, I have to leave them in those buckets. So last year when we did it, that's what I did. I had everything out, all totaled up, and then made sure I was under what Angie told me.
And that means she can't move it without approval.
We
can always move stuff, right, if we need to.
I just need approval.
Have to come back and do a resolution.
I just need approval if I...
Right.
I just need
approval. Go outside of the program.
If I go outside of that code.
Okay.
Well, I'm okay with it. All my questions that I sent you, I think you answered and covered within the numbers. So the only thing I asked about last was the backdrop, but we can always do that in the future.
Oh yeah.
So the baseball backdrop from the guy that came in, we kind of said if he goes forward and does all that, that we might pay for that. Didn't say we would, said might, So I just asked if that was, if there was enough in there, but we don't even know how much it is because he hasn't come back with any kind of estimate. So that will not be included as anything, you know, line.
Okay.
Okay, anything else on that?
I don't think so. I'll get you the information you need, Julie, so you can copy and paste it over into the resolution for next week. And then after that, I'll put them in and get everything. I'll wait on Angie to get me my other paper.
Right.
And then I will get it. I have to have it to her by April 1st, so.
So if we do something wrong next week and the numbers don't come out the same, then we might have to have a special meeting to approve it again.
Yes, because I have to have it to her by April 1st. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And since we have our meetings at the beginning of the month, that kind of threw me a little bit.
Okay.
That's all I have for that.
Okay, depository agreement?
I sent you guys the depository agreement, and then I asked the questions that you guys had asked in the emails, and I sent you her responses to everything. So I guess you just need to determine if we're gonna sign it and continue with them, or what you're gonna do. She was very clear that we can use any bank we want, but no matter what, I think we have to have a depository agreement with any bank. So, and
right.
We've been with them for a long time, so I don't know.
So
I still
would like to try to negotiate away all the fees they're charging us or lessen them, because we have a lot of money in that bank, so they're making a lot of money off of us, and I don't know, maybe that could be something we could try to negotiate with Lisa.
So exactly what fees are you talking about?
Well, we have, I mean, you do the bank reconciliation, but we get charged an ACH fee all the time, right? Every time we...
Our service charge fees are usually, like this time it was $68 and like 14 cents. They're usually around the $50 mark. Obviously, if we do more ACHs.
But there's other fees though, right, too? Isn't there another fee? We got rid of the check reader, so we know that's done.
That when we had that check reader thing, the service fees were like $250 or higher, and now because we got rid of that, everything has dropped down. So unless we have some oddball thing where we have to do an additional ACH in the month or something that's not normal, it's been right about $60 a month.
I would still say it should be zero. That's my take. I wouldn't go to a bank that was charging me those.
I can ask her, but...
It's worth asking, right?
I'll ask her. I'll send her an email and ask her.
Okay.
The one that charges us all the fees is the investment.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we were told.
And what kind of fees are those? And how much is it?
Close to $500 a month.
Why?
It's a flat fee for the amount we have invested, but they don't... necessarily make money off of our investing. That's for their time to do the paperwork and put them in the right funds, and we have it laddered so some roll off at different times so that the money's not tied up, you know, long term.
We are making quite a bit of interest off of them.
Yeah.
So we're spending $6,000 a year?
Yeah.
And how much are we making a year in interest?
Well, a month we're making about $10,000 a month on interest.
You make $4,000
a month.
A month.
Mm-hmm. No, the $6,000 is for the year.
For the year.
Right.
The $10,000 is per
month. I'm doing the math in my head.
So $9,500.
Yeah, it's $95. So yeah, so you're offsetting that. But what are the fees for? Or do you know what the fees are for?
I do not know what.
So it's for their time to find the right investors. So one thing is that we always ask is the money insured, right? Because we know the FDIC has limits. So what they do is they manage those investments so that they're spread out and they're all insured. So we never can lose if the bank goes belly up or the whoever we're investing in goes belly up. So they spend their time finding those investors and getting the right paperwork in place and doing all the paperwork for us. And then every time, you know, like, so we had some, originally we set some up to be 6 months, a year and a half. So as things roll off, they reinvest it, they have to spend their time doing that. So that's what the fees are for.
So maybe we don't roll them off so soon.
Well, they don't roll off soon. We did that so that they wouldn't come due all at the same time. Because if we went into
it. I can tell you my investment money, personal investment money, I'm charged monthly for a fee.
Well, so am I, but I'm not, well, Merrill Lynch doesn't charge me that kind of money. I mean, not for trades and not for, it just seems a little bit, if they're only touching your money to move it whenever the CD or whatever it is that they have it, I don't even know what they have it in, whenever that comes due, and that's every 6 months, then why would you, if you know you're going to get hit with that, you how much, $500 a month just seems really exorbitant to me. You know, how many things are they touching of yours a month that would generate $500 in costs like that? I mean, do we have something coming due every month? Because if we do, then it's short market money, not long market money.
We don't have things coming due every month.
So the average cost, though, is $500 a month, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can ask that, too, but I think that's a separate issue because that was one of the questions I asked was, are we locked into using this bank exclusively if we sign this? Because the investments we kind of set up quickly, if you will. I did some research, but there's a state organization called STAR, and they are highly recommended by like the OTA, and I've talked to other townships when I'm out at the MCTA and stuff, and they come highly recommended because they specialize in investing government entity monies. So I wanted to know that we weren't going to be excluded from doing that. So when someone has the time, they can do the research to see if we should leave it in the bank investment branch, which is separate from the regular banking. They have an actual investment branch, right? To see if we should leave it in that investment at the bank or should we maybe invest some in STAR. But it takes somebody's time to do that research and, you know, figure out what's going on there. And the reason we invested it was because we were making 0.25% on like $300,000. That's all the money that was invested at the time that we invested to get this. So you're talking about nothing versus, or almost nothing versus clearing $9,500 a month. I mean, it's, you know, from that perspective,
a year,
it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I'm just questioning, you know, $6,000 a year seems exorbitant to me, but I mean, I guess we had something like $5 million. So is all of it invested, or is that
when we moved the money, we had more than $5 million. When we moved the money, we moved the $5 million, and we kept $1 million, and that has grown even. Beyond what's in there.
So maybe back to the depository agreement. You want to ask about that as well, if that can be negotiated. But definitely ask about negotiating away the fees on the bank side. And then we would want to do a resolution next week if we can get that answer right and if we decide to go with Park National Bank. The other thing is, can we do less than 5 years? She answered that with, that's the standard.
So that means you can.
So that's another thing, is we could agree to go less than 5 years again, but someone would have to do the research to see if we would want to switch to another bank. I know I go to the OTA conference, there's all kinds of banks there ready to take our money. I like Park National Bank, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything bad about them. I think they've been great to us. They're, for me, they're very easy to work with. You know, I spent a lot of time on the phone with them up front when, you know, when Rhonda couldn't be there.
Huntington, Fifth Third, and PNC, they're easy. All three of them are easy to work with.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not saying anything bad about Park National Bank. I didn't, that's not why I'm asking the questions. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, it's just my job to get the best deal we can for the township, right? So.
But you might be able to get a deal through any of those private bankers at any of those locations.
Right, you might be able to, but again, somebody has to take the time to do the research, and if nobody has the time to do that, then we can't just say we're gonna switch, right? It's gonna take some work. So that's what I'm saying, maybe if we, you know, said, okay, we're gonna go 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and during that time, our plan is to do that research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could go that route, or we could sign it for 5 years. So we'll just have to figure that out, but hopefully next week, right, we would have.
Have we always had 5 years?
Yes.
Did she say that, or just the last one was?
Well, the last one was 5 years, and we've been with them for, what'd she say in that
2006,
email?
I think. Yeah, so that's an even number, so probably every 5 years. I think it was 2006.
I was thinking it was 2006, so that's 20 years. We've probably done 4 of these.
Yeah, April 2006, we're coming up on our 20-year anniversary. And the current one expires April 14th, so we, in theory, could go as long as next month
to
sign it.
So, if you switch banks, do you switch investments as well?
Well, as they roll off, we probably could. I don't think we want to just yank our money out of the investments.
So you're not tied if you decided you didn't want to do the township's normal banking through that particular Park National Bank, and you, let's say I'm just throwing PNC out there, you decided to go with PNC for your normal banking, your checks, your bills, and so forth like that, and you left your investments there, and then as they rolled off, you switched to whatever. I don't know, SWAT. I'm thinking personal lines now instead of corporate. If you went into a Merrill Lynch or something like that, and I mean, are you stuck with Park at that point? No, you could switch off as they come due.
So. I mean, she said we were.
She said even if we signed this, her answer was that we are not exclusive to them for the investments that we could still invest. An example with Star, the one that does all the state government investing. So we're not tied to them. But if we left the investments there, I don't think that would cause a problem, because we would just know that with whoever we signed a contract with, saying, look, we got investments over here. So if we signed a contract with you, we're not moving these, you know, maybe ever, maybe until they roll off, whatever we would decide, right?
Doesn't matter where we go, you're going to have to sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've never read that in the ORC, so I don't.
I don't understand. That just must be government, because, well, sign a contract.
It could
she
be.
She said in the email. Do you
yeah, it could know? Be. Did she say where that came from? I brought the email with me.
I thought she explained the contract in the email.
She said, it's your responsibility to make sure you have an up-to-date depository agreement on file for every financial institution you have funds on deposit. And this is, it says, a requirement of the state of Ohio puts on all public entities.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
So it's probably in the ORC in a generic section that.
That's why.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
So we have to have something, but we don't have to have it for 5 years maybe, and. As I said, even if we sign this one for 5 years, we can still look at Star or other places for investing. And I don't know that Star would be better. I'm just saying, I just wanted to ask that question, because the reason we went with Park National was because we were already there and we just wanted to get some money invested, because we weren't making anything and we saw the opportunity to make a lot more money in interest. Right, so we went ahead and did that. So maybe if you can find out if they'll get rid of the fees. And then,
and check the term, see if you can get it to 2 or maximum 3 years.
Okay.
5 is too long.
Okay.
Yeah, she just said 5 years is the standard time frame. So I would assume that, like you, that it means mm-hmm. it could be less. Mm-hmm. Okay, we done with that?
Yeah.
On the trustee items? Okay, first up is the HRA carryover, which was discussed but is not in the resolution. So I provided you two documents. One is the email. So the carryover for the HRA, when I was working with Wes at SIBO, is that right?
Yeah.
Rhonda? Wes.
Yeah.
So he asked the question, do we want to roll it over, allow HRA to roll over until the person leaves? Okay, because, so the idea behind the HRA is that it's fair and equivalent to an HSA situation, right? Where, so I'm not on government yet, so I still get HSA money, but when I get HSA money, it's given to me as a lump sum. I mean, it's not a lump sum, but it's given to me, it's in my account, I never have to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
But an HRA doesn't work the same way, right? So people on Social Security can get HRA reimbursement, but they don't get the full amount, they can only spend up to the full amount. So Wes said it was very common to allow that money to roll over because as an HSA, you would have all that money. So if you didn't spend everything in 2025 up to that limit, you could still spend that in 2026 or 2027 until you walked out the door, and then you have no access to it. So when we talked about it at the time, we said, yes, let's roll it over because it's closer to an HSA kind of situation. But looking back, now that we have a new person at SIBO, looking back, it's not in the resolution. It's just in the resolution to say that you can't exceed the HSA amount when you're an HRA, when you're on an HRA plan. So I would like to amend the resolution to mention the rollover part.
Mm-hmm.
So it was written in the emails, any balance remaining on December 31st of each year would be rolled over to be included in the following year's available HRA total. And that balance expires on the date the employee or elected official ends their employment, separating for any reason with the township. Receipts will be accepted after the separation date, but only for expenses incurred on or before the separation date. And that was in the email that had the instructions on how to get your money back
mm-hmm.
that I sent. So that's what that item is.
So are we going to amend it then?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Do you want to? Do you want to just say nope when the year's over if you didn't spend it? Tough.
I think it should all be equal. So, yeah, if one's going to do it, then the other should do it as well. That's my opinion. I would like to see them work the same way, but I guess they don't because...
Yeah, well, they have different legal rules,
exactly.
But that's as close as we can come.
But
by letting it roll over,
mm-hmm.
it comes closer to the HSA availability than not. So
I'm fine with it.
And just so we're clear, I don't keep track of how much you've spent. SIBO keeps track of that. Katie keeps track of that. And when you submit your EOBs and your receipts or whatever, she sends me how much I'm supposed to send you.
Right.
I get it.
And you can't, so the other thing is, I'm not sure that this is clear with her, but the HRA reimbursement cannot exceed what you would have gotten if you were HSA eligible. So that was the fair and equitable part, right? That you can't spend anymore. So you as a family plan would get the equivalent or up to the equivalent to get reimbursed as the HSA family plan. So it's not per individual, it's
family.
It's total.
Yes. And the other thing is your like Medicare reimbursement, that's gonna come out every 3 months, but it's not guaranteed through the end of the year. So if you use up, if you have something big that comes up and it takes up all your HRA, at the end of the year, you're not going to get reimbursed for your Medicare because that's part of that amount.
Your Medicare Part B or whatever it is.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. the, what is it, 209 mm-hmm. or however much mm-hmm. it is that you pay, 206?
Yeah, it? So if you spend it all up front, you don't get it on the back end.
There's a limit, right? That limit is whatever the HSA limit is, which is the IRS sets every year.
Yeah.
Whatever that limit is what the HRA limit is. If we allow it to roll over, if you don't spend it last year, you get to add it to this year's total. Mm-hmm. Next year.
That would
year.
Be the only way yeah. you would be able to.
Because like the first year I didn't spend mine. Second, last year I did, but the first year I didn't hit the max. So that should have rolled over, but it didn't because.
Well, we can write the intention was that it was supposed to roll over. It just, it doesn't say one way or the other. We just said that. I went back and listened to the recording from that meeting to see if we talked about it when we actually voted on the resolution. We did not. I think it was probably the meeting before or after that, or I don't know, somewhere along the line. But I know we talked about it at a meeting, but I haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can backdate it
mm-hmm.
To, if we're going to amend this resolution, it should be effective when that resolution was effective. Mm-hmm. So I will have a resolution Tuesday for that purpose. Josh, any comments?
Nope, I'm good with it.
Okay. Next is a resolution to pay the interim fire chief, the fire chief stipend. Last time we kind of assumed this was being done and wasn't being done, so we ended up backdating or retroactively creating a resolution. So I would just want to go ahead and do the resolution to say, yes, our interim fire chief is going to get the fire chief stipend from the day he became the interim fire chief.
Of which he has been getting.
He's been getting it? Okay, that's fine.
He's been getting it.
Okay. Good.
So
I mean,
you want to backdate it.
Yeah, that's
so
that
was
the intention.
So that I'm allowed to give it to him, but.
Yeah, well, hopefully the last resolution would show that intent to an auditor, but just to cover all our bases, we'll just go ahead and pass a resolution.
Yes.
Because we know we need to pass the audits.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes, ma'am.
Back in fiscal office kind of stuff. Our audit from 22 and 23 is supposed to be done March 12th. The bad thing about that is, not that we can go back to that same company that was doing our audit, but Nina is leaving that company, so. She want, and her
so the
last
person
day,
that has all the history is gonna be.
Yeah, so she wants her last day to be the last day that we're done. So once she's done with us, she's done.
We drove her out the door.
Can you blame her?
We drove her to retirement.
She has been I want to recommend her because she has been very good.
Is she going someplace else?
I have no idea. She just told me her last day was the day that my audit was done.
She's probably not even leaving.
No, she's
I'm kidding, I'm kidding.
Yeah, she's been very helpful. Like, I've been able to call her about things, like going forward, mm-hmm. if I was to do this and I had this, would that pass in an audit type of thing? So she's been very helpful and she's walked me through a lot in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that it should be done March 12th.
Okay.
Excellent.
Good.
On her end anyways. I don't know how long it takes the state to do their part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up is a data center moratorium. Do we want one of these or not? Everybody, I've been asked by several people since all this data center stuff has been coming up, do we have anything in our zoning code that prevents them from putting a data center in our township? And the answer is no. So we can have a data center moratorium that would buy us 6 months or a year to do the research and find out
resolution
how some of these data centers are impacting. Okay, yeah. So we'll have a resolution for that. We want to go 12 months or 6 months?
12
months. Okay. Assuming we're allowed.
60 months.
Okay, next up, same question with the solar wind farm.
Yep.
So I had a call
asking
about that, and
there's a couple signs out through the township. Did you notice that?
I did not.
No solar wind farms is what they're. There's one on 40.
Okay. So same thing, we can do a moratorium that would buy
mm-hmm.
us some time. Okay, next is the American.
How long is that gonna be for?
A year.
We'll do 12, yeah.
Yep.
12 months for that too,
mm-hmm.
6 months?
No, 12.
I don't know, I gotta.
Why, is there something going on with
solar? No, not for me. Well, I'm just, I think like the solar thing, I mean, there is, like there's agrivoltaics where they use the sheep to graze under the solar panels. So there are agricultural applications to the solar thing. You know what I mean? And I mean, we talk about agriculture, so I'm not opposed to it. I just think if whatever moratoriums we do, we need to include in our zoning updates to
absolutely
call all this stuff out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So 12 months seems, I guess, reasonable, but I want to make sure that it's in our zoning resolution.
Don't, yeah. I mean, we're hoping to get that to that in the next six
yeah.
months, but
yeah.
chances are we probably won't.
So let's do 12.
Okay, so next is the America 250 Ohio community. So I told you guys about this, that I was going to look into this. I finally did a little research. And what we need to do is appoint somebody as the focal point. And then I put in your little package there a copy of the sample resolution that we would need to pass to try to become an America 250 Ohio community.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think?
I'm good.
So who do you want to appoint as your focal point?
Who can be appointed? What do you mean?
We just have to have somebody be that person.
You mean one of us three?
Yes. Okay,
yeah,
so Josh
mind.
It is. I'll do it if you want me to. I don't mind doing this one because this was something I kind of was... had a passion about. I don't know why, I just can't seem to get anything on my list anymore. So I mean, I can at least get us started and then we can figure out from there,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we want to do events or see what they recommend.
This is to work with this is to work with the state thing.
Yes, there's a
I looked up the website.
Yeah, there's a commission
yeah.
that you work with.
Hmm.
705. So I'll have the resolution on the next meeting.
Okay.
Josh, you volunteering or you want me to do it?
How much time are you, like, what are you expecting?
I have no idea.
I mean, like you, I mean, it sounds pretty cool and I wouldn't mind doing it. I just don't want to say yes and then, like, I don't even know.
Okay, so how
this,
about we just,
means.
We appoint me at the next meeting and I'll try to figure out how much, or maybe I can figure out between now and then how much time it takes.
Good idea.
And then,
And maybe you can lean on the Historical Society for some help with that since it's National Road.
Yeah. I don't think the focal point means anything. I think they just want one person, right? Not all of us calling them.
I see.
So it's just somebody to... you know, bring you back information. Okay?
Put my name on it.
Okay. All right. Okay, next up is the volunteer program to assist senior residents with yard maintenance. Kama, this was
okay.
Your...
I get a call from Carla Renee on 40, and she was asking me if the township would be inclined to help start a senior program for assistance in terms of yard work and things like that, or if their houses are, you know, the older they get a little bit overgrown in the outside, and maybe we could put together a list of volunteers. She seemed like she was really interested in maybe spearheading it, and if we could kind of maybe put that out in terms of our newsletter and kind of maybe advertise it on our website and ask for volunteers here in the township, and maybe once a month we pick one resident who needs it, and then all the volunteers get together, they meet at the property and just go to town on it. I said I would bring it up and see what the other two of you thought. I'm not opposed to it. I think it's a good idea. I would like to do something. I've said this for 2 years now, something along the lines of a grant program for the same type of deal for seniors, with so many so many seniors in our community now that have they're really on limited incomes. They have very tight budgets, and their houses seem to be in disarray on the outside. If the Phoenix program in the city of Dayton did for many, many years around Good Sam, they offered grants up to a certain amount of money, and you the grant was forgiven after 5 years. It was a $5,000 to $10,000 grant for exterior upkeep only, not interior. If you needed paint, if you needed a roof, if you needed some help along those lines to get your property in a good condition on the outside, a little landscaping or whatever, they had volunteer organization, and they would lend the money to, or give the money by way of a grant with a note on the deed that says, as long as you stay in the property for a certain number of years, you didn't have to repay the grant. And that was 5 years at the time, and it was $5,000 for most of them. So, but again, times have changed, everything's gone up, you know. We could certainly use that in this area. If we set aside a certain amount of money and did that, that would be great. That was my idea for the Phoenix project, or something similar to that. But what she is talking about is just a simple yard maintenance program with volunteers who live in our community who are willing to show up and do the labor themselves, and nothing out of pocket for the property owner or anything like that. Just kind of get together a list of volunteers and then coordinate one particular property and then help the individual. I said I'd bring it up and see what you all thought, and if you're inclined to do that, then I'll pursue it with her a little further. I'm just not sure that, you know, how much interest we would have here in the township, and how much time people have to do it. So,
well, overall, I think it's a great idea. So I just have some questions. I mean, first is, as you asked about the training center, is there a financial investment for the township?
No.
The grants come from elsewhere. And then the other question I would have is,
I'm talking two different programs. One, the program that I was talking about doing, we would have to sit down as a board and decide whether or not we would want to come up with parameters for that program, which would be similar to the Phoenix program that City of Dayton ran for years, or it was really Good Sam who ran it. So that's different.
This is somebody else just talking about cleaning up people's
Cleaning up people's yards is what this amounts to. This is what the Miss Carla was saying was just more or less a cleanup, fix up, you know, people.
So it's just all volunteers. There's
no financial, nothing from the township.
And then my other only question would be, do we need to go to Chris to find out? I mean, if we're
probably,
if we're backing it,
probably,
do we need to find out like liability, or can we just say yes, we'll advertise for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like we do for other organizations. Mm-hmm. Are they they're not an organization.
It's
right?
not
she's
an organization. She's
helping
just,
out your neighbor.
Yes,
yeah.
She just came to me with it and suggested, you know, I said I would bring it to you all and see. It's very just neighbor helping neighbor type deal. And I mean, I said I would bring it here and bringing it to you. So if you think that you might want to pursue it, then I'll have another conversation with her. I don't see any monetary interest coming from the township. All I heard from her at the time was, would you be willing to, you know, put this out in the community and see if we could get some community effort to be involved in it? I'm not opposed to doing that. I think that it might be nice. I know that there are a couple of groups here in the township that have helped some neighbors. Last year, there were a group of friends who took care of one of the people that I know and helped her get her yard together. But again, it's, you know, this would be strictly volunteer. We're not providing any tools. We're not doing any labor. We're just simply being the, I guess it would be the mouth to provide it. Yeah, to put it out. So
I'm not opposed to that. Like I said, I think we just need to understand, is there some disclaimer we have to put in there so we're not liable for anything, and but I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
I'll contact her tonight then and tell her that I put it before you, and yeah, we're going to check and see if there's any liability that we would have to deal with. And
then we will call Mr. Englert.
Mm-hmm.
Kama, maybe suggest to her too to go to the school. I don't know about Bethel, but Troy seniors have to have 10 hours of community service.
Bethel does too. Mm-hmm.
And that would be
mm-hmm.
right up their alley.
And also Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
Yeah, and that's something that I think she's heavily involved in anyway. She does a lot of community actions, services, so.
Not a lot of people know, though, that the seniors have to have that to graduate.
That's a state requirement,
yes,
by the
state
way.
Yes, state requirement. I know there's Terry, there's a lot of them that come wash fire trucks, don't they? Or shat it, huh?
Okay, we're through the new business. I'm not going to read all the old business. If anybody has any updates?
Sorry.
Administration, I just want to say the cybersecurity policy, Rhonda and I are going to meet with Otarma. They have a guy who looks to see how we stand. And we're going to include Josh in that. Not Josh, firefighter Josh, who's been our tech guy forever. I sent him a request for... not in that particular meeting, but for any cyber security stuff. I mean, he can come to that if he wants, but I sent him a thing asking what days he would be here, so maybe we could meet. We have another guy, just for your knowledge, Josh. Cody met with a company that will do a free cybersecurity report for us, like analysis and report
mm-hmm.
of where we're falling down, which is...
This is the website?
Mm-hmm.
The website and logons, emails, the physical... computers, the you know, everything. Currently, I back everything up and take it off-site.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can do at this point. That's our disaster recovery plan. Not the fire stuff, though. I don't have any access to that. I think most of your stuff is on shared drives. But we are responsible by the ORC now, by law, to have a cybersecurity plan that says here's how we're going to get out of any ransomware or how we're going to avoid things and what our plans are.
Yeah.
So, and that includes the physical security and inventory and all that kind of stuff. So, but I just wanted to let you know that Ron and I are meeting with Otarma coming up.
Okay.
To
go along with that, the website, have you seen this, the website program from, are you familiar with this?
Yes, this is the ADA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the
yes.
Shoemaker group.
So I went to, I went to that session at the OTA, so we have to be ADA compliant by next
mm-hmm.
June,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
which is, and that includes the fire website, by the way.
What website are we referring to?
Like our township website.
Okay.
That everybody has access to. Facebook, Instagram, any kind of social media, you have to be ADA compliant. And we have all kinds of things wrong with our website for this particular case or cause. One thing is, so the biggest thing is if you're blind, there's software that will read you what's on the page.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a scanned document, you
yeah.
can't read it. So we've been scanning all our resolutions, so automatically all those violated. Now there is a grandfathered in clause, so anything that's put out there before that magic date
yeah.
does not have to be fixed, but going forward, everything after that has to be ADA compliant. So when you post a picture, it has to have alternative text
yeah.
because that's what gets read to the person that's blind. Color contrast, there's all kinds of rules about, you know, we have on our website, we have black on dark green at the bottom of the page. It's been that way forever. I've started changing them to white on dark green because you can't have black on dark green because the contrast. Color blindness is another thing. You can't have charts that say, you know, green means this, red means that, because some people can't tell the difference between certain colors. So it's just things like that, but it's going to be a lot of work. And I don't know how small places are gonna conform to it.
So this group, they'll do a free audit.
Right.
If you contact them.
Right.
Do you want to contact them? I don't mind doing
yes,
that.
Yes, that's the Cincinnati group, right?
Shoemaker, yeah, it looks like, yes, 517 number.
Supported by UC.
So you want to contact them?
That's the session I went to. I was going to talk about that. So next week we're going to give a little review of the sessions that we did at the OTA. So I'll have my notes then about that, but...
So do we want to contact them and just have them do an audit of the website? I mean, they say we'll do it for free.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
it's on the list.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Do you want to do that, or do you want me to do that? It's just filling out the form online. I was looking at it today. I don't think it would be too difficult.
Well, I don't care who fills it out, but I want to be there.
Yeah.
So me and Kathy are kind of the...
Yeah.
And we probably need to invite somebody from the fire department because they have a website.
It probably have to be Josh because...
Yeah.
I don't get on the website.
Right.
I don't have Facebook. I don't post anything on Facebook.
Right.
So I don't have to be Josh's side. I only take care of the EMS reporting, which that's all HIPAA compliant and is all done through ESF.
Right.
Okay.
They manage that security for us.
I think we need to probably prioritize the cybersecurity over that because cybersecurity is due this June.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up,
yeah.
And we're already in March, so can we just push that out to past?
I thought I read something on here about the cybersecurity thing too. Did they look at that as well?
Mm-hmm.
If you're having somebody else look at it, I mean, that's good.
No, there's OTARMA is our insurance provider, so they want to come and see.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to assess our risk.
I just mean it's better to get more eyes on that than just one set.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree, and that's why we have this other company that
mm-hmm.
we're gonna work with, who will do a free analysis as well.
Okay.
And now they want to sell us things, right?
Yeah,
they
want to
sell us.
They just want to sell you stuff too.
Yeah, and the other thing the other thing that the OTA recommended was that our website become a .gov website rather than a .org website.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I did ask was, because we're going to be so far out of compliance, but like I said, that should be grandfathered in, but we'd have to change things like posting the resolutions as a scanned document, which is how you post something with a signature, right? I asked if we could have a private website that we can use for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I use that website every day to look up resolutions, zoning stuff. I mean, the plan was to put all the zoning out there, which would all be scanned. So
yeah, all that stuff you're talking about is on here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right here, .gov, domains,
right.
ADA compliant. And then you said about the...
Yeah, I learned it all in their session.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how.
Well, I just meant because then you said a specific page just for us, login gated pages. So those are pages that only you have access to with a login.
Right, and they said we can do that. They would recommend password protecting it, which is fine. So you're gonna contact them and push it out to like July or something. What's the name of them? Is that STG?
STG Shoemaker Group.
Yeah. That's who gave the session that we went to. Okay, any updates on the zoning?
No, but here's a draft of the welcome packet.
Oh,
I still have
nice.
A lot of work to do on it, but that's just the draft.
Okay, is this my copy?
You can keep it, yeah.
Okay.
On the zoning, I did start doing all the text updates on the spreadsheet. I have those in a document. I'm trying to figure out the best way to compare and contrast what we had with what we want. We're gonna have to do those meetings again because as soon as I figured out all the text, I started seeing, okay, now this doesn't this doesn't work with this piece because we changed the language here and this resolution over here.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So we're gonna have
to
have
mentioned
all those,
that early on.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have meetings again so that we can work through that because I think what people had is good ideas. I mean, there were some that were just, okay, cut and paste,
mm-hmm.
good.
Right.
But then there were some that clearly
right.
they don't fit with everything else.
And I have a whole nother list now that...
I know.
Every time you do a zoning case, you realize there's something potentially that is ambiguous in the zoning document.
Yeah.
It needs to be legal to you.
That's all I have on this.
Okay, fire EMS, nothing?
Just the helmets. Obviously, I expressed to Kim, we I guess we no longer are 503(c) with our association because that hasn't been filed. I guess regular taxes have been filed, but not for the 503(c). So we're gonna have to come up with an alternate plan on that, whether that be throw them in the trash, and if somebody gets it out of the trash, then that's what it is.
Well, we don't want to. We don't want to do that.
Well, that's what's my suggestion.
I would rather
It went over real well, didn't it?
Get Chris to.
The email said it worked well.
Yeah, that's.
And then as far as the surplus equipment, honestly, it just has no value.
Mm-hmm.
We can type something up if we want it on paper, but it has no value. I've been kind of monitoring gov deals, and even with the amount of stuff we have, we're talking at max with everything that we put out there, we might get $1,000 out of all of it. So
that's for the medic you're talking about?
No, not the medic. I'm talking about the hose, the LDH, the yellow hose is sitting out here. We have other hose in the
So we have a process where we can just trash those, right? I think you can say it has no value and it's no longer of use to us.
Pass a resolution.
So, yeah, we have to do a resolution, but there is a process to just...
That's the same thing Chris told us about did you read the email?
I did.
Yeah, so he said we could do that with the fire helmets as well, and then we could just throw them away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't say you could throw them away and have the firefighters dig them out of the trash. That's not what
it's said. The firefighters were going to
dig them out of the trash.
It was in the email. It was right in the email. So this is a problem when you start documenting this stuff. Okay, so what about the medic? Is the plan still to donate that?
If we are going to meet that or do a resolution for that, then yeah, I will get in contact with them, make sure they're still wanting that medic.
Okay, because that's the answer we never got, was if they wanted it. Like Ben was talking about possibly doing it, but
okay.
Never came back and said they wanted it, or he had worked out some deal with them. So
yeah, let me reach out.
Yeah, if
to
you
them
can find that
find
out.
Out,
and you can reapply to be your 501(c), right? I mean, you can just pick that back up. I'm pretty sure somebody can.
I am not the president of that association, so.
Right. Okay. Well, whoever the president is.
I did my part, Terry.
Okay. Anything on the road department or cemeteries that you want to just update us on?
I would like to get a new fence. They keep him hauling around about that fence up there.
Well,
like
get
to,
on them.
All right. And then the roads, I'm going to do, like you said, I'll call a guy and that's it. I don't know which roads we're going to do yet. I haven't gone out with Robert. They've been too busy with snow and fixing this or fixing that. So once I get out with him in the next couple weeks, I'll know more of exactly what roads I want to fix based on the map that he prepared and also what we actually see after all the snow is gone. And Robert will be here until June. He did tell me that. I know he's talked to you as well, Julie, but I don't know about you, Josh. He was going to retire out just in a couple months, and now he's going to stay through June.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Vision plan timing, that was from last month. You were talking about maybe lining it up with...
I think the vision plan we can line up with, but the dental plan we have to keep the same. And she's still working on seeing if we can get something cheaper.
Okay, for vision and dental, you mean?
Yeah.
So, can I just ask a question? Because when I first became a trustee, I wasn't told that our year was June to May. So... when June came, then I was told, because I ended up getting HSA money again, which I'm like, I called up, I'm like, no, this can't be right, I've already gotten this. So that's when I found out it was May to June, or June to May. But then what happened was, now this is only 4 years ago, the deductible started over in June. And now you're saying it doesn't. Can you just verify that with them? Because I don't understand why that happened to me. And I lost a lot of money because of that, because I started getting all that testing done in May for my random call.
I asked Katie about it to verify it when you asked me about it the last time. And she said deductibles start January 1 through December 31st. New policies, like re-enrollment, is completely different. That's where ours starts in August.
So if you hadn't had it, if you were employed here, then it would be June through December, or January through December of the next year, 31st. But if you're going to be a new enrolling person, then you go in the June, May to June. Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Yes.
So if you're a new hire,
if you're a new hire, or you have a life-altering consequence, you can get on our insurance.
Like you get married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your insurance. Or have a baby. You can change your insurance. And you can do that anytime, as long as you have a life-altering event or you're a new hire.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a new hire anymore, then it's August. Ours is August. We moved it back to August because we switched to Aetna.
Mm-hmm.
But your deductible runs
January to December 31st.
Yes. But if you don't get hired until October, your deductible starts over in January, no matter what. So That's the way she told me it worked. I verified it with her. I asked her.
Okay.
The thing that happened.
I don't understand then why I got
hit
again. Screwed.
Probably somebody didn't understand how it worked.
Well, it's the insurance company that does it, right? It's not them that controls it. I guess that's why I was saying, can we verify that? Because the insurance company at the time, you know, that's what determined the deductible, not because they said it started over. Period. I mean,
well, that's not what Katie told me. So it's January to December. January 1 to December 31st is
okay.
your deductible.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anything else from the fiscal office?
I don't think so.
On the trustee items, the meeting room and shelter. Shelter. I don't know why it still says meeting room. We decided not to do that. We did get the signed contract back, so we can begin planning and bidding, whatever. And that's it for everything there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and no other hearing in the public, right? You said you got no pink slips.
No pink slips.
Okay, so we're going to go into executive session. So we need a motion to enter executive session. One, for the purpose to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee or official. And two, which is necessary to consider negotiations with other political subdivisions respecting requests for economic development assistance. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thanks, guys. Any discussion? I would only say that there's not going to be any action taken once we come out of executive session that I know of. Call the vote, please.
Trustee Dick?
Yep.
Trustee Wilkerson?
Yes.
Trustee Lee?
Yes. So time into executive session will be 7:33, and I will pause the... Okay, we're coming back to regular session at 10:53 p.m. Taking no further action, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Call the roll, please. Trustee Dick?
Trustee Dick?
Yep.
Trustee Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Wilkerson-Bienick?
Yes.
Okay, time of adjournment is 10:53 p.m.
Okay, here is Rochelle.